Today, the Church of Jesus Christ celebrates one of the richest blessings that we have ever received, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 50 days after Jesus arose from the dead, and 10 days after he had ascended up on high in heaven, he poured out his Spirit, as he had promised, upon his church. The Spirit with the fullness of the blessings of Jesus Christ to live in our hearts. The Spirit to guide us into the truths of the Holy Scripture. The Spirit to preserve us unto life eternal. The Spirit to indwell us, so that we might now live as the temple of God in the midst of a sinful world. We celebrate today as the Christian Church the great blessing of Pentecost, the gift of the outpoured Spirit of Christ. What is often overlooked in this great blessing is that the Holy Spirit is promised to the children of believers. Pentecost is a covenantal day. It is a day in which the Holy Spirit is poured out not simply upon adult believing converts, but the promise of the Holy Spirit on this day is also given to the children of believers. Peter, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, when he preaches on the day of Pentecost, and when the people around are asking, what is the meaning of all of this? Peter, you might recall, quoted from the prophecy of Joel, chapter 2, and said that Joel had foretold that in the last days God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and then added, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Joel's prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was a prophecy in which the promise of the Spirit to the children of believers was made. Joel is not alone. The passage that I would like to consider with you today as we celebrate Pentecost is found in Isaiah 44, 3 through 5. There we read the words of the prophet, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the God of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. What a precious and beautiful promise of Jehovah to believing parents. I will pour out my Spirit upon your children as water upon dry ground to soak into their souls the blessings of Jesus Christ. I will give my Spirit to the children of believers in order that the Spirit will do what you parents cannot do. He will renew them with a heavenly life. He will open their heart. He will work faith within them. He will give them to grow up to live a holy life as willows by the water courses, and they will confess boldly, I am the Lord's, and surname themselves by the name of Israel. The promise of Pentecost is to take the spiritually stillborn children of believers, who we confess are conceived and born in sin and subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, to take these children and pour upon them the blessings of the salvation of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Cling to this promise of God, this Pentecostal covenantal promise to believing parents, that he will bless also the children of believers. Cling to it at the beginning of the day, when you begin your care and nurture of a child, and especially at the end of the day when you fold your hands and come to God at the end of the day. Believe this promise. Reformed believers have a form that is used in the administration of baptism for the children of believers. And in that form, we make the following confession. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit assures us that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. That is exactly what Isaiah is promising. He's promising the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon the children of believers to saturate them with His grace, that they grow up to confess that they are the Lord's. The graciousness of God's promise in Isaiah is found when we look just briefly into the context of Isaiah chapter 44. In the face of tender mercies, the people of God had transgressed against God and served God with their sins, and God had chastised them. In the midst of that chastisement, God promises a renewal. He says, "Hear now, O Jacob, whom I have chosen, I will yet remember my promise of covenant, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will pour out my spirit upon your offspring. Upon whom will the floods of the Holy Spirit be poured out as water upon dry ground? Who will be renewed unto godliness? Who will be given a fearless and loving confession?" Well, the answer is upon Jacob, verse 1 of chapter 44, "My servant Israel, whom I have chosen, those," says God, "whom I have formed or created by me in the womb." This blessing will be poured out upon the elect, upon those who are formed and redeemed out of the world of sin, upon God's servants, and upon their offspring. What a wonderful and gracious promise. A believing parent's greatest desire is the salvation of their child, that they grow up to live godly and confess their Savior. But this is exactly what we as parents cannot do. And this is what makes the promise so precious. God says that He, by the Spirit, will work the blessing of salvation in the elect children born to believing parents. "I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed, upon thy offspring." Now the text is using a very vivid figure or picture. The figure is of a dry, cracked ground baked under the sun, plants brown and withered, seed placed upon the ground dies. And then there comes a flood of water, first rain soaking into the dry clay, and then rivers, streams beginning to flow, and grass of all sorts sprout up, and rush, and birds, and animals, and trees, and willows near the pools of water, and streamlets. Out of death comes life, the parched land becomes a meadow, and the place of life. This is the figure of the work of the Holy Spirit upon the soul of the church. In reference to the creation, using the creation and springtime or the bestowal of water upon a dry land as the figure. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is the breath of God, still more the Holy Spirit, who now has the possession of all the blessings of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, this Spirit will be poured out upon the church as water upon dry ground. The promise is that the Holy Spirit will pervade the inmost recesses of our soul. He will open the closed, hardened heart. He will infuse new qualities into our will, render our will pliable. He will strengthen our will so that, like a good tree, we may bring forth the fruit of good actions. The Holy Spirit will bring the life of Christ to sprout out in faith and in our consciences. The promise is, however, that the Spirit will be given upon also the children of believers. "I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. I will pour my blessings upon your children." The idea is that the blessing will be abundant and copious. "I will pour floods of blessing upon your children. I will pour out the countless, priceless treasures of adoption and forgiveness, righteousness and eternal life. Everything that now is in Christ shall also be poured out upon your children." You will remember that this is exactly the blessing of Pentecost, as I pointed out when Peter stood up before the wondering crowd and quoted from Joel 2 and said that the Spirit would be upon your sons and daughters. Peter, on Pentecost Sunday, Acts chapter 2, could as well have said, This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 44. God expressly said that he would pour out his spirit upon your sons and your daughters. The gracious, wonderful promise is that God will pour out the riches of grace upon the elect and spiritual children born to believing parents. The Holy Spirit, the author of faith, is promised no less to them, the children of believers, as to the adults. The Holy Spirit, parents, uses means. He is gracious, but he uses means. Raise up your sons and your daughters under the influences of the Holy Spirit, under those means that the Spirit says he will employ for the imparting of spiritual life. Many parents today hardly think of the importance of their spiritual training of their children. Many parents do not feel a sense and a burden to teach the Scriptures, to pray, and to instruct in a godly life. They do not exert themselves in providing a distinctive religious Christian education. Instead, they want to leave it to the child. They think that their only calling is to provide physically a roof and clothes, sports and fashion, and take them shopping. Many other parents are cold and worldly. That warm and loving confession of Jesus Christ is not heard from their lips. Family worship is let go. Attending the Lord's Day, the house of God on the Lord's Day, is let go. Teaching them to pray at bedside is omitted. Walking a life that says that they are the Lord's is not taught. A spirit is left in them of indifference. Parents, the Spirit is promised to us upon our children to work a living faith in them, but the Spirit works through the means of fathers and mothers. Immerse them in the Word of God. How can they be filled with the Holy Spirit? How shall they possess the indomitable joy that frees them from the fear of sin? How shall they grow up to honor Jesus Christ and live a godly life? Here's the answer. 2 Timothy 3:14. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, by taking heed to God's Word, meditating therein day and night. The full assurance of hope in Christ comes from meditating upon the Word of God. Teach them the Bible at mealtimes, at Bible story times. This is not a contradiction. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life. He is the divine author of spiritual life and the soul of everyone who is saved. But he does this through his own word of promise. Spiritual life is not some vague notion that comes out of the nowhere like a stomach ache. It is given through the wonderful truth of God's word brought to us by believing parents. Have them taught the Word of God. Provide them a Christian education which is saturated with the Word of God. Seek to establish with fellow parents a school where the Thus saith the Lord, the infallible Word of God, is the standard of all education. And be sure, be utmost sure that your home is the place where they are taught the truth of the Word of God. The instruction of your child is your responsibility as a parent, parental responsibility. You are concerned, are you not, about what milk your little infant gets? If the formula or the bottle comes to you, you read the label, don't you? You don't say, well, a little arsenic doesn't hurt. You don't you say to your husband concerning that little baby, don't put that in his mouth. Now the life of the soul is more precious, and the life of the soul is the same. The life of the soul needs the pure milk of the Word of truth. Parents, work together, husband and wife, to provide this nurture of your children. Live the Word of God also before them with a warm and living faith. The child will mirror their parents. Why should it be strange that a child believes what we say and lives as we live? God has made them that way to learn through the example of their parents. The wonderful result, says Isaiah, will be that children, by the grace of God, in a believing home, will grow up to a personal profession of faith and a godly life. And they, that is thy offspring, says Isaiah, shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Now what can we expect from children brought up in the covenant of grace? What type of spiritual life should we look for? Dull? Complacent? Are the children brought up in the church to be expected to live this way? Well, we all know about that stuff, but we don't care. Do we expect that young people in the Christian church are to sow their wild oats, or to feel awkward in expressing spiritual life together, or unconcerned about spiritual realities, or unable to pray? Is that what you expect? Well, it's not what God says. It's not what the Spirit expects. If the Spirit is poured out upon an adult, upon a first-generation Christian, one who's taken out of paganism, we expect, do we not, a life organized around spiritual things, excitement in spiritual things. But do we say, well, you know, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation, they begin to take things for granted, cold and outward, but that's to be expected, right? God says no. That's dead orthodoxy. That means that you are a branch that is withering up, about ready to be lopped off the tree of the church and promise. Isaiah says that the result will be, first of all, a marked, noticeable, unashamed godliness of life, and they shall spring up among the grass as willows by the water courses. To understand that, we must turn to the Psalm, Psalm 92, verse 7. When the wicked spring as grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But the righteous shall flourish as a palm tree. The wicked world is as grass. It grows up and apparently it flourishes until it is cut down. But the righteous are as a willow by the watercourse. They are as a tree. They are stable. The result is a stable life of godliness, a life sinking roots deeply into the streams of the Word of God. The result of being born in a Christian home and raised under the blessings of the Holy Spirit is not that spiritual life is a flash here and an excitement there, but it's a noticeable, godly, stable, mature life to the glory of God, an enduring, steadfast Christian life, and, secondly, a profession of faith in God. We read, one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the God of Israel. The Spirit so works that your offspring come forward to profess personal attachment to the Son of God and allegiance to his cause. The result of the outpouring of the Spirit upon the children of believers is that these children come to years to say, I am the Lord's. They lay down their life, the title of their life, to the Lord. They say, I want to be identified by the Lord. They subscribe to his name. They say, write my name down in that list of the saints of God in the book of God's church. Surname me. That is my last name or my epitha. Let it be the Lord's friend. Like William the Conqueror, Richard the Lion-hearted, so a covenant child is Bob or George or Levi or Susan, the Lord's friend, surnamed his name by the God of Israel. The result is a spiritual life, a godly generation, mature faith, stable, committed, confessing Christians. Parents, cling to this promise. Look to God to establish a consecrated home. Use diligently the means given by the Holy Spirit. Instruct your children to the best of your ability. Love your sons. Love your daughters. But remember that all that you can do is give them a depraved nature, and you will see your sins in your child. You will see your failures, your impatience, your anger, and your lack of zeal. You raise them in a wicked world which wants them lost in the emptiness and vanity of this world. Now hold fast to this promise. I will pour out my Spirit upon your children. and then use the means prayerfully for their spiritual nurture. And be encouraged. Pour the Word of God into them. Pray over them. Pray, Lord, bless to their soul this precious truth of Thy Word. Make them know, love, trust, obey, and serve Thee. Be an example to them. Your life is more important than your words. Your actions, what you do, will teach them. They will catch on to how you live and draw near to God and say, Lord, I believe Thy promise. Be pleased to use us as a channel of Thy grace to our children, that our children may grow, God willing, to be noble and strong Christians, that they may be ready to leave this life, which is nothing but a perishing, vanishing world, and be ready always to say, I am the Lord's. And, Father, do this all by the Holy Spirit who has been poured out upon us according to Thy promise. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We pray that Thou wilt seal it by the Spirit even to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.